I am very grateful to the Lord for allowing me this privilege of speaking today and present a topic in this preacher study. I know there are a lot of preachers that are better prepared and more capable than me to present this lesson, but I am very grateful to the brethren in charge of the study, Brother Richard Bonner and Ron Coder, for allowing me this privilege to participate and be one of the expositors. Brother Ron said yesterday that these preachers are not only preachers, but students of the Bible. And I agree with that. But I am just a preacher, not a student. When we talk, and my topic this morning will be about dispensations in the Bible or divisions in the Bible. When we talk about the different dispensations or divisions that we find in the Bible, the Word of God, we find many strange ideas in the religious world of today. People talk about many dispensations, and some even number 7 dispensations. But like I told my friend and brother Alan Bonifay when he visited us in San Antonio not too long ago, I told him that I was going to keep my topic simple. And he looked at me and said, yes, keep it simple. And I'm going to do that so he can help me to answer the questions. When we search the Holy Scriptures, we do not find the word dispensation, like we do not find the word autonomy or leaders, but we do find the idea, the concept. In other words, the dispensations are inferred in the Word of God. The dispensations describe the different ways in which God has interacted with His creation. A literal interpretation of the Bible shows that God has related to mankind in different ways over the course of history. So we want to know the definition of this word, even though it's not in the Bible. And the definition is a general state or ordering of things, specifically a system of revealed commands and promises regulating human affairs. An example, a privilege maintained under the new dispensation. A synonym of dispensation will be a division. And division is defined the act or process of dividing, the state of being divided, the act, process, or an instance of distributing among number, distribution, one of the parts or groupings into which a whole is divided or is divisible. So that's what we want to know, how we can divide the Bible. And I'm going to be using the term dispensation and also age or era, which is, I would say, speaking about the same thing. And when we talk about dividing the Bible, the scripture that comes to our mind is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here, rightly dividing is from G3718 or totomeo, to make a straight cut, that is, figuratively, to dissect, expound correctly the divine message, rightly divide, according to Strong's Hebrews and Greek dictionaries. So the Greek word indicates a clean, sharp cut with precision, like a doctor when he has to operate on a patient. The idea is that a person needs to know how to use the word skillfully and correctly. We're going to see that there are 3 clear and obvious divisions or dispensations in the Bible, all of which relate to human history. And it is very important for us to see and understand these divisions in order to correctly understand and apply the Word of God in our lives. This is very important, brethren, because in the religious world of today, people do not recognize these divisions or dispensations of the Bible correctly. And they make what I call a salad of the Word of God. They mix the Old and the New Testament arbitrarily. In my home studies, especially with people from the denominations, this study has been of great help to me. It's very simple, very basic, but I believe that this helps people to understand correctly under which dispensation we are living today. It is very important that we realize that the Bible is divided in three dispensations, three ages, if you please. There are three divisions in the Bible. These are the patriarchal dispensation or age, the mosaical dispensation or age, and the Christian dispensation or age. From Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus chapter 20, we have what we call the patriarchal dispensation. That is the time when God dealt directly with the patriarchs. And the word patriarch simply comes from, it's a progenitor from patria and arco. Patria, a paternal descendant, a group of families or a whole race, and arco, to be first in political rank or power. So this is what Strong Expanded Greek Hebrew Dictionary says. Actually, it comes from patria, family, and arco, to rule, according to Robertson's Word Pictures. So when we talk about a patriarch, we're talking of a head of a family that God dealt with him and he dealt with his family. That's the word patriarch. Now, it is very important to know that God dealt with these individuals and give them specific directions. Now, in the New Testament, we learn that these men, patriarchs, were called this way. In Hebrews 7 and 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Also, in Acts 7, 8 and 9, and the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant, the circumcision, and so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. So among these patriarchs, we have Adam, and of course also we have Noah, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of course Jacob had those 12 sons who later became the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then God dealt with the nation of Israel. And God gave commandments to each of these patriarchs. To Adam, he told him not to eat of the tree of the fruit of good and evil. To Noah, he told him to build an ark where he and his family will be saved. To Abraham, he made a covenant with him, and he told him to circumcise every male at the eighth day. Then he talked to Isaac, and he repeated the same promise to Jacob. So God dealt with these patriarchs, and they dealt with their family. This was the patriarchal dispensation or the patriarchal age. This period of time lasted about 2,400 years, and then a great transition took place. from the descendants of Abraham, God created a nation that he considered his own special people, and that is the nation of Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews, that we find in the Word of God. Now, from Exodus 20, where God gave the Ten Commandments, till the time that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, we have the Mosaical dispensation. It is when God chose a man, and that was Moses, to be the leader of his people, the Jews. We find this in Exodus 6, 2 and 3. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So here he speaks to Moses, and he makes him the leader of the Hebrew people, the people of Israel. And he even reveals his name to them, to the Jews. And then in Exodus 19, 3 to 5, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So here we understand how God is using Moses as the leader of his people, and he has given them commandments to them. And this is what we call the law of Moses, because he is the lawgiver. And you know, that law was for the Jews. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, it says, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak on in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. So here we can see clearly how this covenant was with the Jews, or the people of Israel. This law was not made with the fathers or the patriarchs, but with the Jews. This law of Moses includes many commandments, but I just want to mention some of them. You know, was the Sabbath day. That was something that the Jews had to observe. There were the tithes and offerings. There were the animal sacrifices. There were the instruments and the worship of the Jews, and also the circumcision. So all of these were part of the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was in force until the time that Jesus Christ dies on the cross of Calvary. Colossians 2, 14 through 16, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore, because the law has been nailed to the cross, let not men therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any holiday, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. So we understand clearly that the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, and it was no longer in force. This was the Mosaical dispensation, or the Mosaical Age. And this period of time is when God communicated with his people through Moses and through the law. And this period of time lasted for a little more than 1,400 years. And then another transition took place. Now, from the time that Jesus Christ dies on the cross of Calvary till the end of time, until Jesus Christ comes back again and the judgment day, we have the Christian age, the Christian dispensation. In other words, this is the time that God deals with us through Jesus Christ. This is very, very important, you know, because in this way, and what I ask people in my studies is, which side of the cross are you living? And of course, we are not living under the law of Moses. We're living this side of the cross. So we are living under the Christian dispensation. And under this Christian dispensation, Jesus is our leader. He's our captain. That's who we follow, Jesus Christ. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we are now following Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had made appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we can see how God spake many times in many ways in the Old Testament. During the patriarchal age, he spoke to the fathers or the patriarchs. He also spoke to the prophets during the Mosaical age. But in these last days, he has spoken to us during this dispensation through Jesus Christ. The last days started after the time that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary in Acts chapter 2. Do you know? That's what Peter says. This is in the last days. That was the prophecy. And the last days started at that time. So we're living in the last days. And during this dispensation, Christ speaks to us through his revealed word. In Matthew 17:1-5, we have a very interesting passage. And it speaks about the transfiguration of our Lord on the mountain. Matthew 17:1-5. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So here we have this interesting passage, because here when Peter saw Jesus transfigured, and he saw Moses, and he saw Elijah, well, he wanted to build three tabernacles. And he says, let's make three tabernacles. Peter wanted to make like three sanctuaries, kind of to worship them. But that would be putting Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ on the same level. But it says here that while he was speaking, there was this cloud that overshadowed them, and then a voice came out of the cloud. But what do we see here? Well, we see here Moses representing the law. We see here Elijah representing the prophets of the Old Testament. And we see Christ, grace and truth. But what was the voice coming out of the cloud? This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. In other words, under this dispensation, we're not going to hear the law of Moses. We're not going to hear the prophets of the Old Testament and the way of law for us, but we're going to hear Jesus Christ. He has given us the law for us in this dispensation. While Jesus was on earth, he was born, lived, and died as a Jew. He was subject to the law of Moses. But during his earthly ministry, he preached and taught his doctrine, the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So here we understand clearly how Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That kingdom was going to come later, and it was going to come in force when the kingdom was established after his death on the cross. During his life, our Lord Jesus was dictating his testament, which was to be enforced during the Christian dispensation. This is the time that we're living now. Remember that the testament is good or valid until the testator dies. But when do we write our testament? Is when we are alive. And that's what happened with Jesus Christ. While he was alive, while he was living upon this earth, even though he was subject to the law of Moses and he obeyed the law of Moses, he was dictating his commandments, or he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom that was going to come. So we are now living under the New Testament. We are living under the testament of Christ. And that's what we need to rightly divide the word of truth. If we do not do this, we're going to be practicing things that are not for us. A lot of people keep the Sabbath day. They ask tithes and use instruments of music in the worship service. But all of this was for the Jews during the Mosaical dispensation. But in reality, these people are not keeping the law, because they do not offer animal sacrifices. They are not practicing circumcision. They are just taking whatever they like, whatever it is their benefit for them. The Bible clearly tells us that we are cursed if we want to be justified by the works of the law. Galatians 3:10 through 13, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we can see clearly that we are not living under the law of Moses. We must follow Christ in his word. In John 12:48-49, he that rejected me and received not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So now we're listening to the words of Jesus. In Acts 13, 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves worthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Then verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. So we understand here that now the word of the Lord is also for the Gentiles. According under the Christian dispensation, the law of Christ is for all nations, not just for the Jews, not just for the Gentiles, but for all people. It doesn't matter the race, doesn't matter the economic situation, it's for everybody, it's for all nations. And that's what we find in Matthew 28, 18, 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, now we are living on this under this Christian dispensation. And of course, we also have commandments that we have to obey. And I'm going to just use some of them in contrast with what we mentioned on the law of Moses. Of course, we have to observe and worship God on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Instead of tithes and offerings, we have the collection according as God has prospered us. And speaking about animal sacrifices, of course, we have spiritual sacrifices. Speaking about instruments, when we sing God, and that's what they use in the Old Testament, now we use vocal singing. And speaking about the circumcision, now we come in covenant relationship with God through baptism. So this is what we are supposed to follow under the Christian dispensation. And of course, people, when we explain to them that we're living under the New Testament, some of them have asked me, why don't you just tear the Bible apart and throw away the Old Testament? You know, if you're going just by the New Testament, why do you have both testaments in your Bible? Just tear apart, you know. Well, we cannot do that, because all Scripture is given by God. It's inspired and is profitable for us. The Bible says that the Old Testament, God is using examples to teach us how he dealt with his people in the Old Testament, how he blessed them when they obey, but also how he punished them when they disobey. So that's the value of the New Testament, of the Old Testament for us. Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And also 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 11, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither ye be idolaters, neither let us commit fornication, neither let us tempt Christ, neither murmur ye. Now all of these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So all the things that are written in the Old Testament are for our learning, not as a law for us, but to see how God blessed those people when they obey him, and how God punished them when they disobey him. That's the value of the Old Testament for us. But the law for us as Christians is the New Testament. And of course, we have these commandments that we have mentioned. So, brethren, we are not under the patriarchal dispensation. We are not under the Mosaical dispensation, but we are under the Christian dispensation. This is what the Bible tells us, and this is the topic. I don't know how much time do I have.
You've got 15 minutes if you want.
Okay, well, I usually preach in two parts. Let me just mention some things. Hope I don't mess up what I already said, you know. But let me just explain how it's important for us. This is very simple. To me, it's very, I don't know. Sorry. I have never opened this thing. I have never put a handkerchief like all, you know, like Alan. That's why it's still so, you know, it doesn't go in. But anyway, that's the problem. But anyway, you know, this is all pretty simple to me. But it is very important for us to recognize these different time periods, because if we don't, we might get confused about what God requires from us. And that's what people is confused in the religious world. For instance, let's go right quick. We find this commandment, Genesis 4:14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. What would you think? That's what I tell people. What do you think if I come to you and say, let's build a boat because there's going to be a flood? Well, you're going to think I'm crazy. You know, I got out of my mind because this has already happened. No, but it's in the Bible. I can show it to them with the Bible. Yeah, but it's not for us. So that helps us. You know, what about sacrificing our son? Genesis 22:2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. But that's not for us. That's for Abraham, even though it's in the Bible, but it's not for us. So that's why it's good for us to know these dispensations. We know that the law of Moses lasted till when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. But let's just talk right quick about making a contrast between these two. For instance, Sabbath, that was a commandment for the Israelites. And for us, we have the first day of the week. You know the scriptures, Exodus 20:8-10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, etc. And if they don't keep this day, it was a curse. Exodus 35:2, work shall be done for 6 days, but the 7 days shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. So it was a law to keep the Sabbath day. Well, for us, it's not the Sabbath day. It's not the 7 day of the week. It's the first day of the week, and we need to keep it holy. We need to worship God on that day. Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue his speech until midnight. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 talks about the collection upon the first day of the week. So that's when we need to worship God, on the first day of the week. If we talk about the tithes and offerings and contrast with the collection, the scriptures that talk about tithes. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. This is a very popular scripture in the religious world. You know, people want the tithes from the members. Leviticus 27:30-34 explains all about, and actually was not money. It was of the herd or the flock and the produce of the land. But it was a commandment for them. The grain and wine, oil and honey, they all were given to the Lord. But for us, it is the collection. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside studying up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So it is a commandment for us to give on the contribution in the collection. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, it says that we should give as we have purpose in our heart. Quickly, you know, if we think about animal sacrifices, which was under the law of Moses, but for us are spiritual sacrifices. We have there in Leviticus 1, 10, 11, how they should offer the animal on the altar. And there are many scriptures that talk about it. Leviticus 23 and 19. Then ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats as an sin offering, and two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. And it had to be the best animal. And this was repeatedly the same sacrifices. They were pointing to the time when Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross. Now for us, we have spiritual sacrifices. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then, in 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So whenever we worship God, we are offering that spiritual sacrifice. We don't have to build an altar and kill the animal in the altar. Now we, by the kind of life that we live, when we worship God in services, in the worship service, that's our spiritual sacrifice. When we sing songs of praise to His holy name, that's the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. So that's what we're supposed to do under the new, on the Christian dispensation. And if we talk about instruments of music that they use in the Old Testament, well, we have what we call vocal singing or singing a cappella. And of course, this is a famous scripture among the people who practice the instruments in the worship service. What about Psalms 150? You know, they always quote this psalm, but again, this was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Ephesians 5:19, is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you rightly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And even the Bible tells us that the harp or flute, it is without life. So we don't have to use the instruments. Finally, when we talk about circumcision, that was the way that a person, that a Jew, became in covenant relationship with God. Even if somebody was not a Jew and he wanted to be converted to Judaism and to worship God, he needed to be circumcised. That was something that God required from them. Doesn't matter if he was 40 years old or whatever, he wanted to be a Jew, he needed to be circumcised. Well, because that was the way to be in covenant relationship with God. But under the new covenant, under the Christian dispensation, it is baptism. That's when we become children of God, we are born again, and we come in covenant relationship with our Father in heaven. Speaking about circumcision, we know the scripture, Leviticus 12, 2 and 3. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And there are many scriptures, Genesis 17, 10 to 14, it says the same thing. That Galatians 5 and 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So for us, circumcision is not a requirement. 1 Corinthians 7, 18 and 19, was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Now we are circumcised when we are baptized. In him, Colossians 2, 11 through 15, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Romans 2, 20 and 29, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Romans 10, 4 and 5, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteous, which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. And finally, we need to hear Jesus, as we already mentioned, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. So, brethren, this is the subject, the three dispensations.